are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
It's the normal expectation of the scriptures for a New Testament people to have supernatural prophetic speech. That's a very loaded statement. I was in a meeting in Las Vegas where this word came to me, exactly what I've just said. That is the normal expectation of the normal scriptural expectation of a New Testament people to be characterized by supernatural prophetic speech. And I remember that meeting as somebody just right out of the blue basically asked me to come up, and I exploded with this. And the meeting opened up incredibly just under that little, I think it's a word of wisdom at that moment. And what happened is people who were seasoned in Pentecostal belief and faith just exploded in gift in the meeting, and was a very supernatural moment for us all. And I want to encourage you people, you have deep and wonderful roots in a Pentecostal movement. Some of you here tonight don't necessarily understand that, even the wording. That's okay. But there's an expectation that God, by His Spirit, will move through us to speak and things like we've just done. It's not a trance. It's not some kind of overpowering medium experience. You know, it's not a voice coming out from within. It's something that the Bible says we prophesy according to faith. And so what happens is we get in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. We hear and we sense the prompt, and we move in that little prompt with Him, with the words that He gives us. It's not even that they necessarily fill our head. It's that they come in the doing, and in the doing there is something of God spoken. And the person who's receiving, and let me encourage you in this, if you receive it in faith, if you receive it in faith, the word of the Lord can come into your life and you can know something of the power of that word. God watches over His word to perform it. You know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, but He sends His word. And the thought of God comes to us. It's not in any way equated with the scripture, but it is entirely, entirely consistent with the word. And that's what we judge our prophecies with, the word of God. We judge it on the character of the person giving it, and we judge it on the word of God itself. Why I said the character of the person giving it, if they are false, if they are seeking their own ends, I wouldn't have much to do with whatever they say. But God has a desire that a church and a people have supernatural speech. Numbers 11 and verse 29, there was an incident in the Old Testament where Moses had this incredible encounter with God, and the presence of God came down on him and on his young protege, Joshua. But the Spirit was not localized just on Moses. It spilled out across the camp. The elders of Israel were receiving the Holy Spirit for their charge to lead. But It spilled out upon the people as well. And I'm using language here. And what happened is all these people at the back end of the camp started prophesying, started speaking the words of the Lord. And there was a couple, Eldad and Medad, that were doing it. It's like Eldad, Medad, your dad and my dad. And Joshua gets a little concerned about this. This is not amongst the priests. This is not amongst the hierarchy. This is not at the top. So he goes to Moses and says, "We've got to stop this. This is kind of like, we've got to conserve this. We've got to hold this back." Moses gave an amazing response to Joshua back in the Old Testament. He says, "Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put a spirit on them." And I actually don't think that Moses was just bringing a word of kind of caution on Joshua to hold steady. I think he was prophesying that God's desire, oh, that God, you know, would put His Spirit on all of us. There's not a person in this room that isn't a candidate for the prophetic Spirit to come on and in and through if you're willing to go with God on the deal. In Joel 2:28, you'll know these verses, but Joel prophesied of the coming of the Spirit. He prophesied of a coming of a spirit-endowed people. Listen to this. You'll have heard this before, some of you. He says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servant, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And that was way before the New Testament times. That was in an era in the Old Testament where it did seem to just hang around the priests or the prophets when it came to the gifts. But this prophet was prophesying that God's going to break free from the pulpit. He's going to come into a people, and all of his people will be charged with the Holy Spirit and enabled to speak for God in a prophetic way. Prophecies and dreams and visions. Young men and old men. It wasn't even to the old guys anymore, thank God. And on your male and on your female servants, every strata of life, I'm going to pour out my spirit on them. And so there came a day after the resurrection. We call it the day of Pentecost because it was a particular feast that the Jews had. And on the day of Pentecost, when the new believers who were new in the faith, who were still working through all that had taken place in the month and a half before, that there had been the cross, that the Savior had died and been buried, but had come back again and stood amongst them and verified his resurrection. Around 500 people saw him and heard him in those days. And then he had said to them, you just hang in there. You hold praying in Jerusalem because you're going to get it. And they said, get what? He says, I'm not going to tell you. You'll know when you get it. You'll know. You know, he didn't really fully explain. He says, the Holy Spirit will clothe upon you. You'll feel it, you'll know it. But he didn't explain how they would know it. He said, but you'll have this. And on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had gone up to be with the Father again, the Spirit came down. And in a very powerful expression of the Spirit manifesting in the presence of God's people, this is what happened. They all began to speak with other tongues. You can read that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, even if you're not a Christian and you've seen TV, you know that this is the thing that gets parodied about a certain section of the church. There's these really weird people that talk in tongues. But I was in a cafe, you know, not that long ago, where this woman that Patty and I have befriended, she's an artist and has been an art tutor, and I went to art school. So we kind of clicked in our interests, and we got to know her quite well, and she became quite friendly. And one day she said to me, she said, you know, what I like about you as a Christian, because she says, I'm not a Christian. Kept saying, I'm not a Christian, you know. What I like about you, I'm not a Christian, but you as Christian. What I like about you, I'm not a Christian. Okay, I hear you. She says, you're not one of those born-againers. No, yes, we are. Well, she said, you're not evangelical. I said, I don't tell lies to anybody. Yes, I am evangelical. So she's trying to get to a degree of affirmation that she could sort of slip by that I wasn't. And she said, well, you're not one of those sort of weird tongues talkers. I just kept quiet. Because I am a tongues talker. I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in a very powerful experience after my conversion, where the Spirit came on me. I had no real understanding of this. Certainly the church that I'd been going to as a young child never taught about it. And there I was seeking God with my hands up like this, and I'd never seen hands raised before, but my hands wanted to go up. Before I knew it, the Holy Spirit came down upon me, and I was shouting and I was singing and I was rolling around this room. And you know, the Bible says when these people began to speak in other tongues, others who were listening to it said, they're drunk. And I literally felt drunk. You know, this was in the late 60s. Anything could happen. And so, as a young man, I didn't understand it, but I'm telling you, the overwhelming love for God and for Jesus was pouring up through me and out of me, and I began to worship God in another tongue. Now, I'm sorry if that scared you out the door, but you haven't left. That's wonderful. But just hang in there. I'm not going to do anything weird on you. Okay, but in that same moment, here was me lined up to go into the military, actually into the Navy, You had choice. You'd go to the army and go to Vietnam, or you could go into the Navy or the Air Force and maybe not go to Vietnam. And I don't think Vietnam was the issue because I had some sea captains in my heritage. And so I went for the Navy and I was signing up for officer's cadet. I had signed up and I was going in for my medical, the very kind of 2 days away from this experience. And in this experience, as I'm praying in tongues and calling out to God, saying, I love you, in between other language that was flowing out of me, I just began to prophesy. I'd never heard prophecy. I didn't know I was prophesying. And I could see people, and I could see the call of God, and I could see that I had my hands raised, and I was standing in front of congregations, and I was starting to talk about it. And this was like just very unusual. I came out of the experience. I didn't calm down. I haven't calmed down for the last 40 something years or 50 years. But I did get out of that experience and I realized I had a call of God on me and had to pull out of the Navy. They weren't very happy with me, but that was okay. They thought I tried to be draft dodging, sent me some rude letters. But the call of God came on me. What I'm trying to get across, even in little illustrations like that, is that we are a supernatural people. We have the person of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit in us, and God has supercharged us. He's put within us prophetic speech. And part of that prophetic speech, of course, on the day of Pentecost was they were praying in tongues. And then comes Peter to explain. How do you explain these things? A bit like me in the cafe. How do I explain? I don't know how to explain that last one, you know. You're not one of those tongues talking kind of weirder, and you know, so but Peter gets up and he makes explanation and he goes to Joel 2 and he says, this is that was spoken of by Joel. He said, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. It never mentioned the word tongues back in the prophecy. But what I'm trying to get across here is that Peter used that text to explain what was happening, because this is it. This is supernatural speech. It's all in the category of prophetic speech. Supernatural speech. It's not a takeover. It's not a medium, it's not a trance. It's a faith act in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. But in so doing, God releases his encouragement and his life upon people. This is an amazing thing. I go to a meeting and people say, well, you know, how do you prepare for this? You know, you kind of write down prophecies before you come or something, you know. No, I don't. I'll tell you how I prepare for this. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians that prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. So when it all boils down to it, it's edification, building up, it's exhortation, stirring up, and it's comfort, it's cheering up. I think you're supposed to smile and say, that's cool, Flint. And, you know, I'm trying to simplify it right down, you know. Build up, stir up, cheer up. Now, I mean, you know, that's the kind of people we should be, right? The build-up people, the stir-up in the good way, and the cheer-up people. But it's more than just a natural function. It's when you pray up and you prepare up, how do you prepare to prophesy? I'll tell you how I prepare to prophesy. I prepare to prophesy by speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. So he is weird. And before I come, in the hour or so before I come, that's what I'm doing. I'm walking around my room. I'm looking at notes. The notes aren't doing anything for me. I'll tell you what's doing something for me. It's praying in tongues. And I want to take you to a text in a second to show why that's so valid and so important to the shifting of the gift in your life, for those of you who want to learn along this line. But stir up, cheer up. What was the other one? Build up. So here's what I do. I pray in tongues in my private space before God. And as I'm coming to a situation like tonight, so I'm going, sometimes I do this in very big conferences. That's really scary. Sometimes they bring people out the front to me and say, prophesy over, there's a special need in their lives. They're believing for a word. And you're going, boy, am I being set up here? And what you got to do, you just got to go in faith. Because in the doing, God joins. But here's why I say that. I come in and I'm speaking to myself now, not just in tongues now. As I get into the hearing of other ears and just in my attitude, I'm going, build up, stir up, cheer up. I'm speaking that little word into my spirit, build up. What can I do to build up this man here? What can I do to cheer up this man here? What can I do to stir up this man here? And by goodness, sir, God is going to stir you up. So I come into a meeting and I say this thing, stir up, cheer up, you know, build up, build up. Who can I build up, you know? And I sit in a meeting and I go, Lord, he's going to get me up there very soon, you know. So you think I come in here all like, he knows what he's doing and he's got this sort of beam coming down. But in every part of the process, it's faith. And I have to go to the bold and begin to exercise the gift of the Spirit. And I just made a little comment. I'm going to finish the word here and keep praying for some people. But in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 4, a little part of the equation here that I just want to leave with you that about supernatural speaks. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 4 and 5, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Now, I want to just, without getting deep, but I want to just take you to a little, there's a Greek clause in there that's being interpreted. It's called a hina clause, demelon hina. Demelon or melon means much more, and hina for the purpose of. So Paul says, I want you to speak in tongues much more for the purpose of prophesying. You see, the way it's been interpreted for us is that I want you to speak in tongues, but I would rather that you prophesy. And that's probably because the guys that did the interpretation for us had had no experience of either speaking in tongues or prophecy. And so they're making an assumption, which is quite legitimate to, you know, take that broader meaning, that Paul is really saying, I want you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather that you prophesied. And then what they then go ahead and do and say that prophecy is really preaching. But as Pentecostals, as Spirit-filled people, no. Prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit that's a supernatural speech dimension that God has been promising from way back, hoping it would come. And in that we're living in that era when the church needs these wonderful gifts to stir up, cheer up, and build up itself and others in the most holy faith. And so when the Spirit comes down and we start speaking in tongues and all of that supernatural dimension hits us. It's that because God is saying, if you can get that going in you, you will prophesy. I want you to do that all the more so that you prophesy. Because what you're doing is you're charging yourself. You're building your own self up. In the exercise, people say, how do you do this? Give us some steps. Well, my first big step is, it comes out of the overflow of the Spirit upon you. And you get into the Holy Ghost, you worship Him, and you pray in tongues like I've said. You touch God and God touches you, and you just walk around loaded. You don't have to come to church to let it out. Oh yeah. I go into my cafe and I say to the owner, little things as I'm going in, because on the way we've been driving along, I've had my morning devotions, I've done all the, and when I'm coming into the cafe, I'm going, Holy Spirit, build up, cheer up, stir up. And I come up to the lady at the cash register and I just say a little thing, you know, this little business thing that you're doing, it's got this, and I, whatever it is, it's sort of encouraging. I just think, build up, how can I build her up? Well, I was doing this for quite some time. And I went away on one of my trips and I came back. She says, I knew you were coming back in today. And I said, how did you know? She said, because you know those little things you say at the cash register? They always touch a specific need in my life. And she said, I've got a need. So I knew you were coming. And inside I went, that's the gift of prophecy, touching people beyond even church here.